the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. That's the end of the chapter. I thought I had more to go. Okay. So Christ, he suffered. We also need to put on that same mindset that it is good. I will joy if I could suffer as he suffered, that I could go through things for the gospel's sake as he went through things. As a Christian, that is something that we need to accept, or we're really not very Christ-like. Trust, you know, hey, look, maybe God will never require it of you, but you must accept it. Nothing wavering. Accept it. Well, I don't want to suffer. Wow, Jesus didn't want to suffer either. That's why you see him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he subjected himself to the will of God. So I say, God, I don't want to... You know, the idea of being tortured is very repulsive. And I've had these visions of the mind of, like, what would it be like to be sawn in half, you know? Yeah, you know? Sends a shiver down your spine. What would it like to be stoned to death? What would it be like to be whipped? Or left in prison for a long period of time and not cared for? To go sick, weak. What would those things be like? And, it does not... No, I think that if I was alone in the world, I would have no trouble going through that stuff at all. As far as, I mean, I would not. The biggest thing that always comes to my mind against such things is like, oh, my children, you know. And I always think I want them to be grown up. But then I think, well, what they're growing up, is that really going to make a difference? I don't know. But I submit myself to the will of God. Whatever his will be, I'm willing to suffer it. Because I know that whatever purpose I was brought into the world for, I want to fulfill to the utmost. And I don't want it, I want it to be a great purpose. Not great things of the earth. I want to do things that the earth hates. I'd love to be the most hated man on the planet earth. And may yet someday be. But he was raised from the dead. And that's why I submit myself to the will of God on that account. Because I know the more I suffer, the greater glory in that resurrection. And by which resurrection, I suppose? Or in which? In the Spirit. It's quickened by the Spirit. So, by the Spirit also, he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Now this is a sort of a, whoa, what's that all about? He gives us some specific information. First of all, preached is caruso, which means to proclaim, or as a herald. So it doesn't necessarily mean he's coming saying, you can be saved. But he preached his victory. He came and declared his victory to the spirits which were in prison, to the disobedient. Now, again, spirits in prison. The word spirits, man is not like, I'm a spirit, though I have a spirit, right? When it says spirits in prison, to me they can mean nothing less. He maketh his angels spirits. He's speaking of angels. Now here's the thing. I'm going to go into this very lightly. Anyone out there who studies the Bible knows the idea of this. He's talking about, okay, when they were disobedient, these spirits, when once the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. So this is pre-flood. These spirits were disobedient. You know, and I immediately imagine the other... look at it. It says in verse 4 of 2 Peter chapter 2, "He spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell." Now that word hell there is Tartaru. Tartarus, which is the prison of the giants in Greek mythology. So it is a prison, he mentions. "Cast them into a prison and deliver them to chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." They are reserved to judgment, the angels that sin. Now, to get into all the nature of that, what I'm here to do in teaching God's word is not to teach minutia knowledge. Knowledge that does not profit you in godliness. Yeah, I know. There's a whole story about angels coming down. It says in the days of Noah that there were giants in the earth in those days. Giants, the word translated giants from Hebrew means Nephilim. It is the word Nephilim, which means fallen ones. Okay? There were fallen ones in the earth in those days. So I could talk to you about the presence of fallen angels at the time prior to the ark being prepared. But that would not profit you. I'm not interested in truth that is not to the profiting. Because what is the point of going over all that? Why does he even bring it up? Because he wants to mention the flood. Peter mentions it, you know. He preached in the spirits to the spirits in prison, whatever. That's his instruction. You want to go study up on that? That's fine. I have an opinion about it. But I'm not here to talk about those things. Really. The only use it has for me, the Christ went and proclaimed his victory to his enemies, to those disobedient spirits. I just don't want people to misunderstand, think this means like, oh, the people who lived in the times of Noah, like Jesus went and preached the gospel to them so they could be saved. No. They are waiting the resurrection. These are spirits of... disobedient spirits, as he says in 2 Peter, the angels that sinned. I think that answers to the same thing. In